Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Welcome back to my YouTube podcast channel. If you're not a subscriber, please click the button below. And today we have a very special guest all the way from London, England, a lady in London. Her name is Julie. Her blog is aladyinlondon.com.
Yes.
And you've been around for a while. I know that you're from San Francisco. You quit your job and moved to England and created a blog and became very popular, and you've been all over the world.
That's true. Yeah. I quit my job in 2007, moved to London, and I've been running the blog ever since, just celebrated 15 years.
Wow. And how many countries have you been to? I know you've been to a ton.
I've been to 112.
112?
Yes.
That's insane. 112. So is your goal to go to every country in the world?
I would love to. Yes. I think I probably won't keep going at the same pace I've been going, but I would like to do that in my lifetime.
So what's the sketchiest country you've been to?
Oh, sketchiest.
Besides America. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe it depends how you define sketchy. Maybe in today's terms, probably Syria. But back when I went, things hadn't kind of kicked off yet there.
I heard it was beautiful. I was in Cyprus, right off the coast, in I think 2007. And a lady next to me was going, and she's like, "It's so beautiful there."
It is. I really enjoyed it. Damascus was absolutely amazing. It's got great history, amazing food. The people were friendly. It was a great experience.
I'm sorry I didn't go. But anyway, we're talking about England. You've been living in London since 2007. You said?
Yes.
I mean, that's incredible. So how was it to move there? I mean, was it a big culture shock? Is it a lot different than the US?
Yeah, it is a big culture shock. And I think the main reason why is because you kind of assume that it's going to be really similar. They speak English. We used to be colonies, or at least part of our country did. But you get there and you realize there are actually pretty big cultural differences. And some of them are more subtle than others, but some of them take a bit of time to get used to.
Like, what are they besides their accent and drinking beer, pints and yeah, pubs closing early?
Yeah, those are definitely big ones. I think in London specifically, you're not really supposed to talk to strangers. It's not the done thing. So coming from California, where you just strike up conversations with anyone anywhere, it was a learning curve. Not making eye contact with people on the tube, that's also a big faux pas. Kind of more of a respect and privacy thing, as opposed to where we have a sort of positive politeness where you go out of your way to be friendly to people.
Did I ever tell you about the time I was in London and I was with a hotel GM? He's like, and he gets a text. He goes, "Oh my gosh, I got to go greet Prince Charles. He's here for an event." And I go, "Can I go?" He's like, "Sure." He's like, "Just stand to the side, okay?" Because it's like a red carpet thing. Anyway, he comes rolling out and Prince Charles walks right by me, looks at me. I just stick my hand out. I go, "Prince Charles." And I could just feel people go, "Oh my God, you didn't just do that." And he looked at me, didn't shake my hand right away. He just looked at me and I was like, that's when I realized I messed up. And then he stuck his hand out and he smiled and he actually chatted with me for a little bit. And he was really funny. And
that's
it was
great.
Always paparazzi taking pictures. But I was like, I just committed a big faux pas. And actually the back of my head was in the newspaper the next day.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, there are a lot of protocols around how you greet the royals and they come to you, not the other way around and all of that stuff. But I'm glad he was friendly about it.
I mean, it would have been embarrassing if he just said, sorry.
True.
But anyway, I realized that there is a big difference because in America, you're like, what's up?
Exactly.
So, and how about, you know, with the pounds and everything, it's, you know, everything's more expensive.
It is, but nowadays, not as much. The pound has hit really, really long time lows against the dollar recently. So it's actually a really good time for Americans to visit the UK. But things are more expensive depending where you're coming from. Being from San Francisco, things are not that much more expensive because San Francisco is very expensive too. But if you're coming from other parts of the US, you might experience a little bit of a shock.
So what are 12 things? I know you just named a couple, but what do you think that first timers should know about going to London?
I think one of the things is that London is enormous. It is an absolutely vast city, and that's great. It's one of its biggest benefits because there's so much to see and do there. But I think the number one thing I tell people is don't try to do everything in the first visit, and don't think that you're going to cover every single inch of the city in a few days or even in a week. I've been there 15 years and I'm still discovering new parts of London. So I think that's a big one. Kind of an addition to that is use the public transport network. London's got great public transit with the tube and the buses and the trains. We've got the new Elizabeth line that goes to Heathrow. Those are all great ways to get around. And it's usually faster actually even than taking taxis because traffic can be bad in central London.
Definitely. So and do you use an Oyster card too?
You don't need to anymore. You can actually just use your debit card now. So it's not as much of a hassle of getting an Oyster card and loading money on it and all of that. You can just tap in with your debit card. And at the end of the day, if you've used enough rides that it converts to a day pass, it'll automatically do that and charge you the
appropriate fare. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
So as long as your credit card or debit card, I would use a credit card, has a tap feature. You just tap it right when you go through the subway.
Exactly. Yeah. It just acts like a card, like you'd have an Oyster card. So it's really easy.
You can tell I haven't been to London in 3 years.
Yeah. It's amazing how much things change very quickly.
That's awesome. That's a great tip. And what else? I mean, I know it's a great walking city, so make sure you have really good walking shoes.
Definitely. That's one of my favorite things to do. There's a lot of free self-guided walks on my blog, so that's something to check out if you're interested. But even if you don't, walking around London is a great way to see it, because one of the best things about London, for me anyway, is the details. And you really miss that if you're taking the tube everywhere. So I would say bring your good walking shoes, be prepared to walk around, and don't forget to look up, take in the details, take in the sights.
Yeah, you know what? I think I showed you last week when I saw you in LA about using that Mapless app. I really love this app. And the first time I used it was in London, because it's such an incredible walking city. Yes. You download the app. It doesn't tell you turn by turn instructions. It just gives you a compass and points you in a direction where you want to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, in America, you might not want to do it, because in certain cities, you go down the wrong street, you're in trouble. But I don't think that's the case in London.
Yeah, certainly not in the city center. You're pretty good to go pretty much anywhere there.
Yeah, great tip. And I would think you would agree with me, always carry an umbrella.
Yes, absolutely.
Some layers.
Yes. This summer has been oddly hot, but normally even in the summer, you always want to have an umbrella with you. I always carry sort of a mini travel size one in my bag wherever I go, and it comes in handy quite often.
Yeah, I carry one in my back pocket, but can you buy them on every corner?
Yeah, and most souvenir shops have them. Boots, they're sort of the pharmacy equivalent of sort of CVS or Walgreens in the US. Boots always have umbrellas. Supermarkets have umbrellas. You can find them pretty much everywhere.
You know, and the last time I was in London, I actually saw you on a street similar to the one that's behind you.
Yes.
We rented a place through London Perfect, which was awesome. And I don't think I paid cash once. I used my credit card for every purchase, even going to like a, you know, convenience store and buying a bottle of water. It was just boom, tap.
Yes. And it got even more so during the pandemic. And to be honest, I don't even remember the last time I carried around my wallet. I just use Apple Pay for everything. And it's funny, even now the buskers, who are the street performers out on the street, they have the tap to pay, you know, £2 to tip them. So everything's pretty much cashless there now.
And they use Venmo too, or?
You don't have Venmo in the UK. So okay. It's people usually pay each other via bank transfer. But yeah, Apple Pay is pretty much everywhere.
So as an American, how would I tip them? I mean,
you can use your Apple Pay if you have a credit card loaded on your phone, or you can obviously tip in cash if you want to as well.
These guys are brilliant. Yeah. You really have no excuse. I don't have cash on me. That's okay. Just give me your phone.
Exactly. Just tap the sensor. Yeah.
Anything else?
Yes. I would say get into the food scene. A lot of people still think, oh, Britain, the food isn't good, but that was years and years ago. And London has amazing food now, and food from all over the world. I personally recommend Indian food, because that is a big, big thing in Britain. So go to a curry house. And then also pubs, they're sort of like the neighborhood living room, and they're a great place not only to get good traditional food like fish and chips or bangers and mash, but also to get into the culture there and to meet the locals and to really see what London life is about.
You know, Indian food, actually, London is definitely my favorite place to get Indian food outside of India. And even Indian even in India, I prefer actually, and sometimes food in London. I mean, just mm-hmm. because I think it's safer, although, you know, it depends where you go in India, but mm-hmm. I trust the water more in England than I do in India.
Fair.
So do you have any favorite Indian restaurants, by the way, or districts?
Yeah, I mean, I like to go to a place in East London called Tayabs. And actually, speaking of cash, it is one of the few places that is still cash only. So if you bring cash when you go there.
And how do you spell it?
It's Tayyabs, I believe. Okay. And it is in Whitechapel, which is in East London. And it's on a little side street, kind of tucked away, but the food is absolutely amazing. And it's a huge restaurant and it is always packed. I went there last time, I think at like 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday, and it was already rammed. So it's really, really good food and it's a great local experience.
Actually, the first time I met you in England, I believe we went to an Indian restaurant, correct?
Yes.
And was that it? Was that the one?
No, that was Veeraswamy, which is the other end of the spectrum. That's a really nice restaurant right off Regent Street. Also delicious, but a very different experience.
Yeah, that was high end.
Yes, that was great.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, great. And you know, the NFL goes to town, I think three times this year. And I've been there when it's happened. I didn't go to a game, but it's amazing to see so many people wearing jerseys from every team, not just the two teams that are playing. It's literally from every team.
Yeah, I love that about it. I've been to a few of the games and it's so much fun. Like you said, to see all the jerseys from everywhere, to see fans from around the world, to see British people getting into it. And just, it's such a fun experience.
Yeah, they have their own commentators too. I mean,
yes,
and some of them are ex-NFL players. I enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else? What else are we missing? Or what should first timers know when they go to London?
Yeah, I think one of the things is to plan your itinerary based on locations, because as I said before, London is so big, it makes no sense to sort of go to the V&A Museum and try to do the Tower of London in the same day, because they're way on the other side of the city center from each other. So I would say get out a map, figure out what you want to do, and then group things together by day based on their locations. And it'll be a lot easier on you. You won't be running around the city or taking the tube way back and forth all the time.
And it's smart. And a lot of these museums, I don't know if they still are, but they're free, correct?
Yes. Yeah. All the big museums in London are free and it's amazing. I pop in all the time for 10, 20 minutes and then go on my way. And it's really nice.
And are there certain days they're closed?
Not many of them, to be honest. It's more that they're open. A lot of them, like the National Gallery, is open late on Fridays. So if you want to go before or after dinner, you can go in and see whatever there is to see. The V&A and some of the others have once a month late nights for adults only, where they have a bar and a DJ and you can get drinks. And so it's sort of like half museum, half party. It's really fun.
I mean, no wonder why you live in England. I mean, that's amazing.
It's not bad. Yeah.
And there was an area I went to a couple times. I can't remember, but there were canals there. I mean, it's like, wow, where are we?
Yes. Yeah. Maida Vale and Little Venice. And the canals run all the way through Camden and King's Cross. And you can go all the way through Hackney and the East End. And yeah, that's a really nice local experience, because a lot of visitors know about the Thames and do the walk along the South Bank. But locals love doing the walk along Regent's Canal.
And Americans love to go to Portobello Market. Is that still popular?
Yes. Yeah. Portobello Market with the antiques on Saturdays. Lots of other markets too. Borough Market is amazing if you love food. It's London's big food market and it's uniquely set under these railway bridges in just south of the river. Lots of other markets as well. I love Maltby Street Market, which is near Borough Market, and it's food and it's under railway arches, but it's very local and not that many people know about it. So that's a fun one.
And how do you spell that one?
Maltby, M-A-L-T-B-Y, Maltby Street Market. Okay. And then there's obviously Camden Market, which is one of the most famous, and you can pretty much get anything there. It used to be associated more with kind of goth and alternative things, but now it's a bit of everything.
And I love going into the different grocery stores like Marks and Spencer's and getting, you know, different kinds of chips, potato chips or chocolate bars, because they're unique.
Yes.
And, I mean, they're delicious too.
Yes, exactly. There's a lot of good local British sweets and snacks. You get Twizzlers, which are sort of these almost look like braided pretzels, but they taste different. They're, I think they might even have Marmite on them. You can get chocolates like all the Cadbury's flavors. There's a lot of good ones.
And when you travel, you told me last week that you use Google Voice.
Yes.
So if you're going to go to London for a long term, or even like a month, you recommend getting one of their local cards. Is that true? Or local phone?
Yeah, you can get a local SIM. There are these prepaid SIMs that basically cost 10 to 15 pounds. You can get them all over London. Like the high streets are full of mobile phone shops. You can just walk in, buy a 10 pound prepaid SIM, pop it in your phone, and then you can basically have data in the UK for 10 pounds for while you're there. It's really
convenient. And that will last you your whole trip?
A lot of them will, yeah. I was just looking on one of the websites right now, and some of them have 30 gigs, 16 gigs for 10 pounds, 30 gigs for 15 pounds. So yeah, there's a lot of value in it.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. It's a great tip.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yes. I would say get out of zone one. So zone one is sort of the heart of central London, where you have Covent Garden and Buckingham Palace and all the kind of obvious places. But as a local, one of the things I love most about London is getting into the more local neighborhoods. So one of the ones I love is Hampstead, which is in North London, and it's on the tube. It's on the Northern line and the station is Hampstead. And it just feels like this country village right in London. And there's a huge park with great views of the city. So places like that are worth going to if you have a little bit of extra time, because you really get more of a local feel for the city.
Yeah, I remember going to parks now and see the Rose Garden. There's this one Rose Garden with like 129,000 different types of roses.
Yeah, that was probably Regent.
Is that Regent? Yeah, Regent's Park. And that's incredible. And you go at certain times of year. I assume it's the summertime when they're blooming and it's just beautiful, or springtime. And also going to plays. My favorite thing to do in London is go to a play. Do you have a certain place that you go to find cheap tickets?
You know, you can go, there's a TKTS booth in the middle of Leicester Square that's always historically kind of been the place you can get cheap last minute tickets, but you can get deals online as well, booking either early or late. Sometimes you can show up to the theater itself and get last minute tickets on the day of, but yeah, it's absolutely worth going to see a show.
Okay, so it's basically the same as before.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
And there's all different kinds of discount ticketing booths along Leicester Square.
Yes.
Do you still use them?
Yeah. Yeah. People still use those. Okay. Especially the more flexible you are with what you see, the better you can find a deal.
Okay. And do you have tea? And do you go for like afternoon tea anywhere?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been to afternoon tea many times. It's a great tradition and it's a fun experience, especially if you love carbs, because it's sandwiches, scones and pastries. But it's a really fun thing to do. And I don't even know if I could choose a favorite. The most recent one I went to is Fortnum & Mason, and that was a great one, but there are so many good ones in the city.
So in their stores, because that's a really popular store like Harrods, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a big department store. And one of the top floors, they have a tea salon, which is just afternoon tea on the whole floor. So it's really nice.
So what's the difference between afternoon tea and high tea? One's like a full-on meal, correct?
Well, they kind of both are. Afternoon tea is the kind of tradition that you think of when you think of the tiered trays with sandwiches on the bottom and scones in the middle and pastries on the top. High tea is more of a meal. So it's usually just kind of an early dinner, and it can be sort of a pie, or it can be something more, you probably have bangers and mash, something traditional, but it's more just early dinner as opposed to the kind of pastries and sweets and things.
Okay. And do you, how about any scams that people need to be aware of?
Oh, there's
pickpocketers, I'm assuming, on the tube when it's really crowded.
I was going to say, there's not that much in the way that's unique to London. There are definitely pickpocketers, not that often, but I would say you go into a lot of places in central London where they'll have signs up saying, don't leave your phone lying around on the table because people might stop by and swipe it, or don't hang your bag over the back of your chair because somebody might come by and just grab it and go. I, knock on wood, have never had a problem with any of that, but it is a big city. There is petty crime just like any other big city. So do just be careful.
Definitely. Anywhere, even LA, here in LA or New York City, if I'm dining outside on a cafe, I never put my phone on the table.
Yeah.
I make sure my wife doesn't put her bag on the table because they could easily cruise by on a bike, a motorcycle, grab it and go.
Yeah.
And they're done. My brother had in Connecticut, where I grew up, my brother was walking down the street. He's a lawyer. He's all dressed up. He was talking on the phone. Someone came by on a motorcycle and grabbed it out of his phone while he was talking.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So you got to be careful with these
things. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Any apps people should download?
There's an app a lot of people use called City Mapper that is good for walking and public transport. So if you want to know how to get from right exactly where you are to the British Museum, you can type that into City Mapper and it'll tell you the best transport to use, whether that's buses or the tube or a combination of the two or just walking. So that's a really helpful one for a lot of people.
Right. And what's your favorite time of year?
Oh, that is so hard. I would say late spring going into summer, because you start getting all the flowers coming out, the weather is nice, everybody is so excited that it's getting warmer, so everyone's in a really good mood, the city's absolutely beautiful, the wisteria is in bloom, and it's just a really nice time. It's not too heavy on the summer tourist crowds yet either, so you can go to some of the attractions and not have too much of a crowded experience, and it's just a really pleasant time. So I'd say kind of half of May. Even April, but I'd say May, second half of May is sort of the sweet spot.
It's my favorite time of the year to be in Connecticut, where I grew up, for the same reasons. Everyone's in a great mood because they made it through winter. Summer is here. The beaches are open.
Yeah.
So, I really appreciate all these tips, and I know everyone else does. So how can people follow you and sign up to your newsletter?
Yeah, so the blog is aladyinlondon.com, and I'm on all social media, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, everything else, TikTok, as A Lady in London. And you can subscribe to my blog, you can subscribe to my newsletter, both of those options are on the blog itself. And follow me for tips and more.
And do you offer personal guided tours? Because you should if you don't around London.
I don't offer personal guided tours, but I do plan trips for clients. So if people want a tailored custom itinerary, or they just need help planning out what they want to do, they can come to me and I can do that for them.
All right, great. And anything else? Did I forget anything or leave anything out?
I think we've covered a lot of the best bits.
All right, good. Well, Julie, A Lady in London, thank you so much for taking the time. And everyone, please follow her, sign up to her newsletter, and also subscribe to this and my newsletter as well at johnnyjet.com. And until next time, I hope you guys have happy travels. Take care.